You're listening to the Hog Sports Network Daily Podcast. Now, here's your host, Matt Jones.
Well, I am not Matt Jones. This is Ethan Westerman. I'm filling in his place today as the host. Matt will actually be back here on Friday and actually going to call him here in just a little bit on the phone to get some info on some new football contract agreements for 7 assistant coaches. But first, we're going to start off talking a little basketball like we do pretty much every day on the show this time of year. They have a game Wednesday at 8 p.m. against Georgia. And Arkansas, of course, is trying to get the monkey off its back of 0 wins in SEC play. Joined here at the desk by Anthony Christensen, who he covers the basketball team for us at WholeHogSports.com. Anthony, the same way that Arkansas is looking at Georgia as an excellent opportunity to get a win, you know, I'd have to think that they're looking at Arkansas the same way. It's actually, I think, the first time Georgia's gone into an SEC game against a team that doesn't have a ranking next to its name.
Yeah, no, it is. I mean, unless you want to retroactively take away Oklahoma's ranking at the time, just because of Oklahoma obviously going on a losing streak to start SEC play, but now has that win over South Carolina. This is a Georgia team that's coming off of 2 losses, albeit to 2 top 10 teams in Auburn and Tennessee, and an Arkansas team that is frankly desperate for one. The matchup is kind of interesting. I mean, you know, Georgia plays kind of, you know, not necessarily a fast pace, but not slow. So it'll be interesting because Arkansas, especially defensively, likes to slow you down, and we saw that did not work against Missouri. But yeah, it's an interesting matchup. It's a Georgia team that was ranked last week before losing 2 games to 2 top 10 teams. It's an interesting one, and one frankly Arkansas needs to win because start 0-6 in conference play, which obviously that would match John Calipari's worst ever start to conference play, which goes back to his head coaching debut there at UMass. That bubble is shrinking. Right now you're probably not even thinking about Arkansas in terms of the NCAA tournament unless they start turning things around. And Georgia presents a good opportunity. Georgia's good. Arkansas, according to KenPom, is projected to win this game, which Arkansas was projected to beat Ole Miss. I don't think Arkansas was actually projected by KenPom to beat LSU, but that's a game you also want to win because yeah. LSU stinks. but in SEC terms, I mean, LSU is obviously a good team. Every team in the SEC has been good this year. But, yeah.
Yeah, well, going off that, you mentioned the Ole Miss loss at home. Arkansas lost to Florida at home. You know, it feels like in the SEC this year, it's really important to, you know, kind of to hold serve at home. Like, mm-hmm. you need to win your fair share games. Georgia has not gone on the road and won a game yet, so they haven't proven that they can win a road game. Arkansas clearly, you know, haven't won any SEC games. But is this one of those games that you feel like, you know, you mentioned it, you know, like Arkansas NCAA tournament, probably not even really in the conversation right now because you just can't start 0-5 in SEC
and you can't have one quad one win.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But is this, you know, if Arkansas is to lose this game, do you think that, like, at this point, what is the goal of the season? Like, it's because if they start 0-6 in conference play, it would take the most incredible run ever to get back, you know, in tournament talk.
Yeah, it's a good question because I mean, if when you make these, you know, when you have this roster, you have this staff. I mean, making the tournament is, like, frankly, it should be probably a given because of how much, you know, how much you're investing into the program. Just from a player and personnel standpoint. If they don't make the tournament, I can't really think that there's much of a silver lining in that regard. Not to say that the hopes are gone or anything, just because, you know, how loaded the SEC is. I mean, you're going to get, you know, quad one opportunities left and right. The window is not closed. It's just the child lock is off and it's kind of coming down.
Yeah.
It's, So if they lose this game, what's the goal? I mean, it's still, I think, the same because of how many quad one opportunities they're going to have. It's just that the goal becomes even more, not unattainable, but very close yeah. to it. Just because of, like, you can't start 0-6 in conference play and really think that you've... It's hard to see a turnaround, is what I'm trying to say, if they lose this game.
I'm really curious with, you know, the SEC this year. There's a lot of times that, you know, your conference tournament doesn't get... It doesn't really help you out nor hurt you too much. Mm-hmm. But
there's a lot of the conversation is done, like midweek, championship week. But so, yeah.
Like, say this year, though, for an Arkansas team, say they get six... They find a way to get 6 or 7 conference wins, which that is a big right now if.
Yeah.
Do you think that there's, like, a magic number at SEC tournaments, since those are quad one games, that, you know, you go into SEC tournament and you don't necessarily have to win at all, but that for a team that's maybe 6-7 wins in the SEC could play their way into the tournament?
It's hard to say. I mean, I know that, you know, the committee is doing things a little differently this year, just, like, incorporating, you know, wins against bubble and everything along those lines as kind of different metrics that they're kind of looking at. Just kind of looking at past precedent, it's kind of hard to say just because, I mean, that Texas A&M team, I think it was 3 years ago, made that run to the championship game, and everybody kind of thought they were right on the bubble, and that would have pushed them over, and then they ended up missing the tournament and playing in the NIT. So it's kind of hard to say. I wouldn't necessarily say there's, you know, this magic number that they need to hit just because... It's hard to balance, because if you go 7-11 in the SEC, let's say, I mean, you're gonna have, you know, more quad one wins than, say, somebody who went, you know, 20-10 in the ACC.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you balance that? How much do you emphasize, okay, this team actually won, you know, its games, whereas this team, you know, won more quad one games but also lost more games. So it's kind of hard to balance, and you don't really know what the committee is gonna do there. Especially with regard to, you know, tournament play and, you know, conference tournaments, just because, I mean, a lot of that conversation, a lot of the committee's decisions are made during the week as opposed to right then on Selection Sunday.
Yeah. You know, it's crazy. I think it's just human nature to look at look ahead at schedules. Mm-hmm. Arkansas closes their season, like, their last four games. Actually, you could probably go 5. I know they got beat bad by Missouri on the road, but since it is a home game, their last 5 are Missouri, Texas, South Carolina, Vanderbilt, Mississippi State. It looks like at the end of the year, if they're playing their best, they've got a nice little stretch of games that could help them, you know, improve.
You think that on paper, but you also look at, you know, Mississippi State is, you know, a top 15 team in the country, and Chris Jans is playing attractive offense for the first time in my life. That's no disrespect to Chris Jans. He's a fantastic coach, obviously, you know, did great things at New Mexico State and has Mississippi State really rolling. I've never been one that enjoys watching his offense, but, you know, he wins games. It's you know, that's his job. And but this year, I mean, you look at that Mississippi State team, Josh Hubbard, all those guys. I mean, they play a really nice brand of basketball. Vanderbilt is 15-3.
Yeah.
And Vanderbilt's losses are to Drake, who is, in my mind, I think Drake is an NCAA tournament team at this moment in time, and losses at Missouri and then at home against Mississippi State. So, I mean, those are, you know, no losses that you can scoff at. And then South Carolina is probably one that you expect to win, no disrespect there, but it's on the road. And we've seen how difficult it is for SEC teams to win on the road. And then, like you mentioned, that Missouri team just came in and, or not came in, but like ran Arkansas off the floor, won at Florida. So, I mean, there's not really many givens, but I do understand
I guess what I'm trying to get at is, if Arkansas is going to ever, because to play your way out of an 0-5 start, you have to stack wins at some point in the schedule. It looks like that's maybe, like, nothing is easing the SEC at all, but, like, that might be where, like, they got to be playing their best at the end of the year, which all teams, of course, want to be playing their best at the end of the year. But I guess if Arkansas is going to get its way back into tournament talk, I looking at the schedule, I would think they have to start figuring out some stuff, of course, now, because you can't keep digging your hole. But then they've really got to, I think, capitalize on that stretch of, I don't know a magic number in there, but just playing well against these teams that I guess are, they are beatable. Like, because there are a lot of teams on the SEC schedule that right now, I just think, like, Arkansas at Auburn, like, how...
That, yeah.
Like, I just don't know how many people are going to be willing to think Arkansas is going to have a shot in that one. But basketball is a weird sport. You know, maybe they're playing better by then. Real quick, I want to ask you, Asa Newell, the Georgia, do we call him a star at this point? Or
Oh, he's good.
I'm about to say.
Oh, he's good.
I'm about to say.
He's good.
I think we call him a star. What makes him so good?
I just think he's got a great touch. I'm on the wrong KenPom page, so I can't pull up his stats right now. But, I mean, he's just he's so good. He's fun to watch. I mean, you look at, you know, the games in which, you know, Georgia is winning is when he's, you know, really efficient. Not to say he's not efficient in other games, because he is. I mean, he was, you know, 4 of 9 from 2 against Auburn, playing against, you know, a weekend inside presence, but, you know, a good Auburn team, just because they didn't have Jonai Broome and everything along those lines. But he's constantly, you know, you look at his performance against Kentucky, he's a guy who can play inside and out. He can step out, hit threes. And he's doing it. I mean, I think we've seen it just like in this SEC, it's really hard for, you know, freshmen to step in and, you know, give you that kind of that level of performance. And he's really doing that. I mean, he's playing 81% of, you know, Georgia's SEC minutes, which is top 10 in the league as a freshman. And he's really kind of become a really solid anchor for them, both offensively and defensively. He's a guy who can protect the rim. He's a guy who, you know, maybe you don't necessarily think about it just because he's 6'11", but he can get out there and he can get steals just because of his length and everything. So he's a threat on both the offensive and defensive ends. Can step out, hit threes. He can be a presence inside as well. And he's shooting 62% from inside the perimeter on 2-point shots. So, I mean, he's a guy who, I mean, Arkansas's interior guys, your Jonas Adus, Trevin Brazil, Zvonimir Ivicic, I mean, they're going to have their hands full with him just because, I mean, he's good.
Yeah. I've only watched, you've probably watched way more Georgia than me this year. I've only watched, I think, two or three games they've been involved with. I got the feeling watching him that it was almost like this guy's due to just absolutely take over a game. And it's almost like, I don't know, like, I thought in the Kentucky game especially, I was like, this guy at any given moment could probably just absolutely take over a game. He seems like a real to me, like not just star in the college game. Like, I think we're going to be seeing him professionally be one of those guys.
Yeah, and I'm not sure that he's a one-and-done type prospect. I mean, maybe he, you know, attempts it, but he's got the upside, I think. He also gets to the free throw line, and he's pretty good from there as well. I mean, he shoots 71% from the free throw line. But, you know, you see him play well against your high-level opposition. I mean, he had a great game against Kentucky. He was really good against Oklahoma. Even in those two losses, I mean, he wasn't necessarily bad. It's just, you know, he's playing against some of the best competition in the country. You know, against Ole Miss, you know, they lost that game, but he was, I thought, phenomenal. Double-double in that game. He does it, you know, against, you know, the really good teams that Georgia's going to be playing against. And also, I mean, he dominates, you know, those lower level teams as well. But yeah, he's awesome.
Didn't somebody vote him an SEC?
Yes.
As the player of the year before
preseason he did get a vote for SEC, at least one. They didn't release like vote counts and everything, but somebody voted for him as SEC player of the year in the preseason. I'm thinking they thought it was preseason freshman of the year. maybe they cooked.
Yeah. Maybe they did.
No, he's really good. He's really good.
One more thing before we get on the phone with Matt. Whenever Georgia's playing its best this year, what's kind of its MO? I guess, what has Arkansas got to make sure doesn't happen?
I mean, when you look at this Georgia team, I mean, it's a team that can kind of... It can hurt you in a lot of different ways. I mean, they're good. They're a good shooting team, not necessarily the best three-point shooting team, not really great at that, but especially when they get the ball inside to your guys like Newell, Silas Demery, when he gets, you know, driving to the basket. They do have three-point threats. I mean, Blue Kane can shoot. But when they're really driving and getting inside, they're great on the glass. The offensive rebounding is going to be huge in this game. When you look at that, and they're a really strong defensive team. I mean, that's the big thing that you look at when you look at Georgia and really any Mike White team. Is there a good defensive team? They're really solid. But with the ball, when they're on offense, they turn the ball over a lot. So, I mean, maybe that's something Arkansas can maybe take advantage of. But, I mean, they're a great rebounding team, especially on the offensive glass. And when they get, you know, in and around the rim, or in around the paint, I should say, I mean, that's kind of where they are at their best.
Arkansas, Georgia, that's tomorrow at 8 p.m. Want to tell you that you can get all the latest breaking news on Razorback Sports at WholeHogSports.com. It's the most in-depth source for all Arkansas sports. Our award-winning team of reporters and photographers bring subscribers the most trusted Razorback news. We have analysis, the latest in recruiting, and unique stories on your favorite teams. Subscribe today at WholeHogSports.com. When we come back, the normal host of this podcast, Matt Jones, he'll join me on the phone. But first, a word from our sponsors.
Want to enjoy your life again? Burning, numbness, and general pain in your feet and legs might be keeping you from your daily activities. Neuropathy treatment can be effective to restoring your life. Come see what we can do at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute in Uptown Rogers. We can treat your neuropathy pain and get you back in the game of life. Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute is located at 5102 West Pauline Whitaker Parkway in Uptown Rogers.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
Welcome back in. I want to tell you about our friends over at Bentonville Glass. Serving its community since 1971, Bentonville Glass is committed, professional, and versatile. Looking for a quality leader in Northwest Arkansas? Looking for skilled craftsmanship? Choose Bentonville Glass for all your glass market needs with the highest quality products. Come by and see us at 507 South Main in Bentonville or at bentonvilleglass.com. Matt Jones is not, I'm in his seat right now, but he is on the line with me on the phone. He is currently in the cold. It is really cold. he's at Baumwalker Stadium, I believe. Matt, thanks for braving this weather to be on this show. It shows your commitment, professional and versatile ability.
Well, you know, we're doing these pictures today. We're getting photos for our magazine. Our Hogs Illustrated Baseball preview, and where we're doing the photos, it's not real great phone signal in there, so I wanted you to be able to hear me. So yeah, I'm sitting in the sun behind home plate here at Baum, but it's like, I don't know, 15 degrees with a 5-degree wind chill. It's pretty cold.
Well, it's not the same here in this warm studio without you. wanted to real quick ask you about, you know, something that you reported on yesterday from a Freedom of Information Act request. Arkansas had 7 football assistants sign new contracts. I know anytime you get that many contracts, it's a lot to sift through and decipher. But, you know, maybe what are some of the main things that people should know from those new contracts?
Well, I think the highlight is that Travis Williams got a new contract, pay raise, and he's got some language written in there that if they win 7 games in the upcoming season, there's another pay raise that's coming for him. So, you know, I don't know what the market has been like for Travis Williams the last couple of years, but, you know, we've all heard the murmurs that some teams might be interested in him, you know, just because of the way Arkansas's defense has played at times the last 2 years. It hadn't been great, but it hadn't been bad. You know, and I think a lot of people, we had Brandon Marcello on our show before, you know, and he said that, you know, he thinks Travis Williams is one of the, you know, really hot young names in coaching. So he got a pay raise. You know, there was a slight pay raise for a few other head coaches, but or assistant coaches. But, you know, what this mainly was, you know, a lot of these assistant coaches, they either had contracts that were expiring at the end of next month. Morgan Turner, the tight ends coach, he had a contract that expired at the end of December. And then a lot of the other coaches had contracts that expired at the end of 2025. And so, you know, what they're doing, what it looks like to me is that they're kind of making it maybe a little bit more uniform contract schedule where, you know, now everybody's kind of on the same timeline. Not everybody's like that. Morgan Turner, he's got one less year than some of the other coaches do. Most of them are through the 2026 season. Turner's is through 2025. And also I put in there, they're not done. And I think Bobby Petrino's getting a new contract. He turned down or pulled his name out of the running for the Charlotte head coaching job back in December. And Deke Adams has got a contract that expires at the end of February too. So I think when it's all said and done and the smoke clears, everybody's going to have a contract for, a year or two, and all of them are going to expire at the end of February, whether it be in 2026 or 2027. And it'll maybe be a little bit easier to keep track of these, because right now it's kind of been everybody's on different schedules.
Yeah. Staying on football talk real quick before I let you go. I know it's cold out there.
I got plenty of time, Ethan.
Surely you stayed up, and I know you go to bed early, but you stayed up and watched the whole championship game last night, didn't you?
Yeah, I watched the whole thing.
What were your thoughts on the way that one kind of transpired?
Well, I thought the best team won the national championship. I mean, I think most people have thought all year that Ohio State was maybe the best team in the country. When they lost to Oregon, that game could have gone either way, and Ohio State's driving at the end of the game, and Will Howard made a play, he made a decision there at the end that probably cost them a chance to win it. And, they lost to Michigan at the end of the season. That was certain, that was something that would have knocked them out of playoff contention in the past in a 4-team playoff. It's interesting to me that Ohio State won the first 4-team playoff 10 years ago. And now here they are, and they've won the first 12-team playoff. And in both instances, they wouldn't have qualified for the championship game the year before. So, kudos to them for taking advantage of it. But, I've always thought Ohio State was really good. I said this all year. I didn't necessarily think Oregon was the best team in the Big Ten. I just think that, they caught some breaks. And obviously they beat Ohio State at home. But I think Ohio State's really good. Ohio State, to me, they year in and year out, look like a team, like the most complete team outside of the SEC. I mean, they've got the athletes. This year they went out and they got some SEC athletes to complement the roster they had. They had Quinshon Judkins was a running back, and they got Caleb Downs from Alabama as one of their defensive backs. And both of them were involved in big plays last night, in the championship game. And they went out and they got a good quarterback and Will Howard from Kansas State. And so – they bought Chip Kelly out of his contract at UCLA as a head coach, and Jim Knowles is a high-paid defensive coordinator, maybe the highest-paid defensive coordinator in the country. So I think when Michigan won the title last year, that Ohio State was embarrassed by it, and they said there's not going to be any price that's going to keep us from putting together a championship roster, whether it be on the field or in the press box with the coaches. And, so they spent for a championship, and that's what they got. But they look like a really good team to me. I mean, they look like a really complete team. They got the offensive linemen. They got the defensive linemen. They got the athletes at linebacker. If you put Ohio State's roster up against any other roster in the country this year, I think that, you'd come away thinking that Ohio State is as good or better than anybody that they were up against. So it doesn't surprise me that they won the title. I think Notre Dame had a good run. I think Notre Dame benefited a little bit from, the path to the title that it got. I mean, Penn State and Indiana, they're good teams, but I don't think either of them are great teams. And, obviously they got to play Georgia with the backup quarterback, and give Notre Dame credit for getting that far. But, the problem with them, I think, has been their offense. And, you saw last night, they made a valiant effort to try to get back into it, but they're a little bit handicapped offensively. And when they get behind by that much, it's going to be hard for them to come from behind.
Is there a coach in college football who's had more ups and downs with his own fan base than Ryan Day in the past year? I mean,
it was weird watching that last night. I mean, because, I think Kirk Herbstreit said something back in December, like maybe there were death threats against them after they lost to Michigan. I mean, even in the lead up to the Michigan game, he was telling, I think one of the Fox reporters about how tough those losses had been on him in the previous few years, from a personal standpoint. I think that the stories were being done because the expectation was they were going to beat Michigan and they were going to probably beat them, pretty soundly. And then they ended up getting upset the way they did. It's a weird relationship that I'm sure he and his family have with the Ohio State fan base. You know, Day is an interesting coach to me because I wonder if there's an NFL team that might go try to hire him. Mm-hmm. You know, there's what's his record at Ohio State like? 70-11 or something. I mean, it's something crazy.
Yeah, 70-10.
And now he's got his national championship, and you know, you just wonder, you know, how much more is there that he can prove at Ohio State? You know, there's not another college job that he's going to go to and, you know, be at any more prominent level than he is at Ohio State already. And, you know, so I don't know if it's this offseason or maybe next. I mean, we saw Jim Harbaugh make the jump after he won the title last year with Michigan. But I really do wonder whether or not an NFL team would take a look at Ryan Day and you know, give him a shot to show what he can do at the pro level.
Before I let you go, Matt, you're out there at BOM because doing a lot of work for an upcoming baseball preview magazine that we have coming. What are some of the things that people, you know, should maybe be excited or looking forward to in that magazine?
In the magazine? Well, I think, you know, one of the things that sets the magazine apart is that there's a position analysis on every player, talking to their position coach. So, you know, it might be a pitcher and getting Matt Hobbs' thoughts on the pitcher. Bobby Wernis' thoughts on catchers, Nate Thompson's thoughts on outfielders, and so on and so forth. And so, I think that's what sets it apart. We love this baseball preview. It's my favorite one to put together every year. I can tell you that. And you know, it's typically our highest selling or one of our two highest selling magazines every year. We always get a lot of calls to buy those single copy issues. So we're excited about it. I think we're going to have it finished here in about 3 or 4 days, and it's going to go to the printer next week, and hopefully everybody has this by, you know, somewhere around the start of February.
Yeah. For those of you who are like me and you go and get your Phil Steele magazine before every single college football season because it's a tradition, I mean, for those that are Arkansas baseball fans, I feel like this is the same. Like, it just needs to be in your arsenal every single year. I mean, it's such a comprehensive, in-depth look at the team, and you aren't going to find this anywhere else. Like, if it's a really good way, I think, to set up the season and maybe get to know some of these players that you don't know enough about. And Matt, of course, does our baseball coverage for us. He does a great job, and looking forward to all that we have coming ahead this baseball season. Matt, thanks for hopping on the phone and braving the – I don't even know what temperature it is. On my way down this morning, it was below 10, so I
– Yeah, it actually it feels pretty good here in the sun. The sun is shining directly – on home plate here at BOM, and it doesn't feel too bad right here. I mean, with the jacket and the gloves, it's manageable. It kind of feels like it's going to feel an opening day, probably.
Is it symbolic, the sun shining on home plate there?
Hey, maybe a good sign for the Razorbacks.
Might be a good sign for the Razorbacks. Well, Anthony will join me on the desk again to break down his latest AP basketball ballot, but first a word from our sponsors.
Want to enjoy your life again? Burning, numbness, and general pain in your feet and legs might be keeping you from your daily activities. Neuropathy treatment can be effective to restoring your life. Come see what we can do at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute in Uptown Rogers. We can treat your neuropathy pain and get you back in the game of life. Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute is located at 5102 West Pauline Whitaker Parkway in Uptown Rogers.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over 4 decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
Welcome back in. I want to tell you about our friends at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness. Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute is your source for holistic wellness and your healthy lifestyle changes. Located in Uptown Rogers, the staff at Enhanced Healthcare will target your specific health plan for wellness, from neuropathy treatment, primary care, weight loss, and so much more. You can count on the experts at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute in Rogers. Anthony's back on the desk with me. In case y'all don't know, Anthony is our AP voter here in the state of Arkansas in the AP basketball poll. You put a piece up on the website every week explaining your ballot, but we're going to get in the spoken form a little bit right here. Curious if you could break down some of the, I guess, biggest things from your ballot that maybe do need explained, like some people wouldn't have a team where you had them.
Yeah, I mean, my ballot's pretty standard. I mean, every team I voted for ended up in the top 25, so it's not like I have any real controversial picks. obviously, Auburn number one was unanimous.
Real quick, before we go any further, how impressive is it for them what they did without Jahni Broom?
Oh, they're so good.
Yeah.
They're so good. I mean, to do, like, that's arguably the best player in the country, and they're still just kind of beating the hell out of everybody. I mean, it's just, it's ridiculous, man. They're so good.
Okay, go on. I just wanted to, I think that it's pretty locked in. They're the best team.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Then you got Duke, Iowa State following that, just because, you know, I flipped Duke and Iowa State because of Iowa State losing to West Virginia. It's kind of hard just because, I mean, everybody lost this week, it seemed. Like, Houston didn't lose, so I moved Houston up to six, but Houston really looked shaky against UCF. So that was kind of a, you know, may as well.
Yeah.
But... you know, I moved Marquette down to 10 just because of its loss. Mississippi State, I've got at 11. There was a one point I was the biggest Mississippi State believer in the country. had them at 12 when I think their actual ranking was 25. So you're welcome. but, I mean, nothing really super controversial. Still got Illinois in the top 15, even though it lost to Michigan State. I'm still really high on the Illini. I think their combination of shooting, especially when you know, you got Kasparis Jackachonis, you know, running the point there. I probably should have been lower on UConn, and it's something I've kind of thought about a little bit, just like throughout the, you know, since I pressed submit, it's like, would I have UConn 16 if UConn wasn't its name? Just because, I mean, they've struggled.
Yeah.
I mean, you lose to Creighton at home, and Creighton's kind of been UConn's, you know, kryptonite over the last few years. I mean, Greg McDermott, I think, is 8-2 against Dan Hurley, which is kind of a ridiculous stat. But then, you know, I move Ole Miss up, even though they lost to Mississippi State because of their win at Alabama. I got St. John's in there, got Missouri in there. I think Michigan staying in, even though they lost to, you know, Minnesota, and went to overtime against Northwestern. I almost had Texas Tech or Georgia in over Michigan because of that. But then, you know, I get West Virginia in and Louisville in just because. I mean, talk about Louisville. That's. I mean, 14-5. That's two more wins than they had in the previous 2 years combined.
Yeah.
I mean, what Pat Kelsey is doing there is just. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Pat Kelsey, one of the more like energetic coaches in the country. That guy's he's super fun. They play a great brand of basketball. You know, is Louisville the 25th best team in the country? I'm not sure, but they certainly deserve to be in the rankings at this moment in time.
Anthony, you're a great person to be voting in this poll because you watch so much basketball. I mean, y'all, it is sickening stuff. It'll be 10 p.m. and there's a NFL playoff game going on, and Anthony's texting us like he's like, "Are y'all
watching this Pacific Washington State game?"
Yeah, he's like, it's not just it's every night, but it's funniest whenever it happens on nights with big, you know, NFL games. He'll be like, "Y'all, are y'all no way y'all aren't watching Stony Brook Towson right now?" And we're like, "Actually, there's definitely a way that we're not." But anyway, all this to say, you have a great grasp on what teams that come March could be bracket busters.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious, you know, I know it's January 21st, there's still some time, but who at this point of the season are you like, y'all keep an eye out on them, they could mess up your bracket here in a couple months?
I think when you're looking at, you know, teams like that, you look at, you know, teams from, you know, the Missouri Valley, the A-10, Conference USA is having a really nice year as well. I think you look at a team like Liberty, kind of been a little inconsistent in Conference USA play, but if they win that conference tournament and get into the field, you know, that's a team that could really hurt you. You look at the Missouri Valley, the top two teams there, Drake and Bradley. They've kind of been the top two in that league for, you know, a while. So those are two teams that, you know, if and when they get into the tournament, and frankly, as things stand, obviously they can change a lot. I think both, you know, assuming one of them wins the conference tournament, Drake's the only team I view as being in the at-large discussion from the Missouri Valley. But if Bradley wins the tournament and Drake keeps playing the way it is, I just think it would be really hard to leave Drake out of the field. And Drake has that right combination of continuity, because a lot of those guys followed Ben McCollum from Northwest Missouri State, the D2 level, and just the way they run their offense is really hard for teams to scout and prepare for. Bennett Sturts plays 99% of their minutes, which is the most in the country. So, I mean, that's a team that, you know, has the continuity and the skill to beat teams. I mean, they beat, you know, Kansas State in a, you know, semi-road game. It was in Kansas City. Kansas mm-hmm. State's, you know, logo is on the floor. Yeah. That's a road game.
Yeah.
Don't give me any of this neutral site. No, it wasn't. they beat Vanderbilt, and people are talking about Vanderbilt as being, you know, one of the top, you know, 1 year turnarounds in the country.
Yeah.
They've got the good wins, the best wins they can have, because nobody schedules Drake. But then, I mean, even farther down, you got a team like High Point, if they get in. I mean, Alan Huss has done...
That's the type of team that we love in the tournament, High Point.
I mean, Alan Huss, you know, hop on board the Huss bus. I mean, that guy's done a phenomenal job, you know, building that program in the past couple of years. You know, a team like Marist in the MAAC.
Is that the Foxes? Am I making this up? It's
logo is certainly a fox. I don't know if it's the foxes.
Let me. Marist mascot. They are the Frankie the Red Fox. They are the Red Foxes, I believe.
Okay.
That is, now you're speaking my language. This is the type of team that I love to see in March.
But yeah, like, let me pull up Marist. Like, Marist for a while was one of like three, or not three, but like one of, you know, a very elusive group of teams that had just two losses.
Mm-hmm.
Just lost to Ryder at home, which is a bad
loss.
Dang
it, Ryder.
But, I mean, Marist, you know, the MAAC is not as good as it typically is, just because of how down Iona is and some of the other things. Yeah. You know, Fairfield maybe not being as good as people would like it to be. But Marist, I mean, they find ways to win games, except against Ryder, I guess. But, you know, 13-3, you know, John Dunn's done a good job there. But yeah, I mean, then you look at the Big West. I mean, it's probably not going to be a two-bid league unless UC San Diego wins it, just because UC San Diego just lost, I think, to UC Riverside. But I mean, UC Irvine is another team that's firmly in the at-large discussion. I mean, what, you know, Russ Turner's done there, the way they play their offense. Miles Che is just an awesome, awesome guy there. But UC Irvine is a team that, you know, is probably going to be a trendy 12, 13 seed if they get in. Same thing with UC San Diego. Both those teams are phenomenal. UC San Diego, this is their first year eligible to play in the NCAA tournament, if I'm not mistaken. And they look fantastic. So those, probably more than what you're looking for.
Well, we're going to bookmark this. These are the teams that Anthony says now. We'll come back around in March and see if maybe one of these teams that were just mentioned were one of our beloved bracket busters. It's the best time of the year. Does anybody argue that as like a college sports fan? Like, the NCAA tournament is just, it's peak. I mean, it's lovely. I cannot wait to see. If our Marist Red Foxes can get in there and knock off somebody.
Don't expand the tournament.
You hear the man.
They're not expanding the tournament to get last year's Indiana State team in. They want Syracuse.
Yeah, well,
I mean, maybe not this year, Syracuse. Syracuse stinks, but you know what I'm saying.
I remember you were mad about Virginia last year, too.
That Virginia team should not have sniffed the NCAA tournament. Don't get me started.
Anthony is the defender of our lower conference teams, and he will die on this
hill.
If you
watched Indiana State and Virginia last year, and you picked Virginia, and you said Virginia should be the one who gets into the tournament, I'm not sure that I have respect for you.
Well, I think that's a great way to end this. Hope you'll
maybe that's mean. I apologize. I have less respect for you as a basketball knower.
Well, Hope you'll visit us at our website, wholehogsports.com, as we break down the latest Razorback news. We'll be back with another podcast tomorrow. It will not be me in this host seat again tomorrow, but hope you'll check out that show as well. Have a great Tuesday, everybody.